Read travel blogs and books before you head out on a major expedition, and you will find as wide a variety of advice on what to bring as there are cultures and climates in the world. One expert swears by bringing only 2 pairs of underwear for a year's worth of nomadic living, that the disadvantage of having to wash one daily, drying back at the guest house while you're out and about, is offset by the advantage of a light backpack. Another experienced traveler, one likely without small heads to count, threatens that if you choose to rent a car instead of relying solely on public transportation, you'll miss out on the real version of the place. Another tribe of travel writers promises that with enough tenacity, you too can make a living from anywhere and live the rest of your days location independent, so long as you live out of a backpack. Research where to begin your round-the-world endeavor, and you'll find some sane advice. Start closest to where you already are and avoid major jet lag on top of the inevitable culture shock. If you're European, take a bus across the closest border with nary a passport stamp. If you're from the United States, begin in Canada, Mexico, or Central and South America. However, as some Canadian friends of ours realized when they started their round-the-world trek in Argentina, Eastern South America is still 5 hours ahead of Western North American time. No matter how map-savvy you are, the world continues to surprise. It's not standard advice for this new way of life, this living out of the pack on your back for a year with 3 small kids in tow, to start on the opposite side of the planet amid almost as opposite a cultural worldview. You won't find many travel experts recommend, ah, the heck with it. Chuck logic out the window and start your kid-centric trip in a huge communist country where you can't even read the alphabet, much less ask for an appropriate place to pee. This is how we start anyway. There are plenty of guidebooks about the 4th largest country in the world, and there is more to do there than is possible in a lifetime. But easy? Ease into a major shift of your family's daily routine, breakfast options, or sense of privacy? You won't find a gradual entry by starting in China. Tiptoeing down a gently sloping beach into the waters of world travel would mean starting in Canada. Cannonballing into the deep end of an ice cube-filled pool full of swimmers with no sense of democratically promised personal space. That's China. The only real advantage we have to starting our trip in the land of 1 billion people is that Kyle and I have already been there. 12 years earlier, we found ourselves newly engaged and schlepping backpacks through China with friends as part of a research project entitled, Could We Actually Live Here? That was the question on our minds, combining the stress of choosing the right flowers for a fall wedding with deciding in which foreign country we should raise a family in a few years' time. We grabbed lunch in the Beijing airport on that trip, and I remember the hotel's breakfast the following morning. Fish and rice, and an eggplant-colored hard-boiled egg called a century egg. Ask me what I am least in the mood to eat when I wake up in the throes of jet lag, and I will tell you fish, rice, and a discolored, fermented, weeks-old egg. We walked up the Great Wall with our friends, dripping with sweat from the humidity, and arrived at the top at closing time, which meant we stole only a few minutes to look around, then rushed back down to our taxi. The vendors taunted us with their Great Wall emblazoned t-shirts and paperweights, and we joked that if the original Huns somehow made it over the wall today, they'd never pass the elderly women shoving copyright-violating guidebooks in their hands. Beyond this, I don't remember much of my first taste of Beijing. Clearer in my mind is our trek outward, into the Wild West of China on the other side. There, in Urumqi and Kashgar in the Gobi Desert, near the border of Tajikistan and Afghanistan, China's landscape becomes more like its Central Asian neighbors. It is here that I had my first and last sip of fermented horse milk tea. This is where I witnessed the extreme geography of Asia, the tallest mountains in the world.